Welcome to the Beauty Revival Podcast, where you're taken on a journey of miracles, transformation, and radical beauty inside and out. I'm your host, MB York. I'm a celebrity makeup artist, esthetician, former spa owner, and product developer. This isn't just another beauty podcast. This is a movement. I'm bringing you my best anti-aging, beauty, skincare, and makeup tips, but we're going way deeper. From Hollywood sets to the supernatural, from breaking free of toxic relationships to unlocking the divine power within you, this is where beauty meets faith and transformation begins. Say goodbye to society's toxic traps and hello to God's mission for your life. So if you're ready, hit play and let's get started. Welcome to today's episode of Beauty Revival, where I'm continuing my little manifestation series. And today I'm talking about I Dance with Prince, then manifested 27 A-list celebrities, and then Zendaya on Dancing with the Stars. So those are three really epic stories that I'm going to share with you. I hope that you'll like them. I hope that you'll learn something from them. And the basic theme behind all three of these stories are, I call it like a heart manifestation, because all of them I did for someone else. And we're all capable of doing this. And I feel like the more stories that you hear from me, maybe I will activate you. Yes, I am an activator. So I'm a reality activator. So the more you listen to my stories, the more likely you are to start doing the same thing. So it's pretty exciting. Okay, so I'm going to start off with my Prince story. I am not a big fan of Prince. I like some of his songs. I've never been like, oh my God, Prince. But one of my good friends was a huge Prince fan. And so he was in town in Phoenix at the Celebrity Theater, I think. And she asked me if I wanted to go to the concert. And I was like, oh, I didn't really want to go, but I said, I will if you want to. But we couldn't get tickets. And so she said, can you just manifest getting us tickets? Because she's been on trips with me and saw me do all kinds of stuff with the Oscars. And I talk about it in earlier episodes, as well as in my upcoming book, Beauty Revival. There's lots of funny stories. But so I was like, okay, let's just go down there and I'll manifest getting us tickets. And so we drove down to the Celebrity Theater and parked and went to the venue. And usually there's scalpers outside, people trying to sell tickets. And for some reason, there was just nothing, no tickets. So we hung out there for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and I just felt my powers weren't working. And so I just said, I'm sorry. I did my best, but wasn't happening. We left. And there's this theme of this too. I feel like so many times it's like the manifestation hasn't caught up with your reality yet. So sometimes, as long as you don't plummet into depression or into a really bad energy vibe, thinking it's not possible. But I also didn't really care. And I think that was part of the power too, because when you want something really bad, it usually does push it away from you. Whereas the more unbothered you are, whether you get it or not, the easier it is I'd be able to manifest it. I was like, sorry, I was relieved. I didn't even really want to go. So as we were walking back to our car a block or two away, right before we got to the parking garage, this guy comes running up to us and he's, did you girls want tickets to Prince? And we were like, yeah, we did. So he gave us two tickets. So we were like, woohoo, we did it. We turned around and went running back to the venue and we're trying to get there because it had already started and we could hear him singing. And so we went in and got a drink and there was, I don't remember the exact seating, but there's like a big area in the front, I forget what it's called, where everybody can stand and dance. And so we went right down to that lower level and we weren't there, but 3 minutes before this guy came up to us and he was like, follow me. And so we followed him and literally he took us right up these stairs behind the stage and then out onto the stage. So within 5 minutes, we are on the stage with Prince. And literally, the guy had said to me right before I went on stage, I didn't even know what was happening. He said, "Don't look at him." And so we weren't allowed to look at him. But literally, we danced 3 songs to Prince, with Prince, one of them being Raspberry Beret. And it was so surreal because we didn't have this on our cell phones. Nobody got photos of it. Like, it's almost like it never even happened. It was so crazy, but we had such a great time. So yeah, after our 3 songs on stage, we went back down and finished the concert, and it was just epic. So it was a really great manifestation. But the other weird thing about this was I never really talked about the story. It's funny that I'm telling all these stories now because it's so rare that I ever talk about any of this, but hey, I find them interesting. And I'm just not a small talker. When I go out around people, I'm not like chiming in, talking about myself. It's just awkward. But I was on a plane and I was sitting next to this guy who would not stop talking, and he was talking about music the whole trip. And so I was like, finally at one point, I was like, all right, I'm just going to tell him my Prince story because I'll be participating somewhat in the conversation. And I'm like, I don't think I've ever told anyone the Prince story. So I told him that story, and it was cute. And when the plane landed, we turned our phones on, and immediately it was all over the internet that Prince had just died. And I was like, what are the chances that I'm talking about him right as he's died? I have no explanation for it. It's just too weird. And another quick segue to that, years ago, I was at a movie once, and it was like a Saturday night, and I came out of the movie to use the restroom in the middle of it. And I just had this weird thought, and it was, I wonder who's going to be the next really big celebrity to die unexpectedly. And the next morning, it was all over the news that JFK had crashed the plane, and him and his wife and his sister had all died. And again, looking back at the timing, I really feel like I felt it energetically right as it was happening. And that's what made me have the thought. But crazy stuff. Okay, so moving on from Prince to my Zendaya story. And I don't know if you know who Zendaya is. My daughter was obsessed with her when she was a kid because she was on this show called Shake It Up. And she loved Zendaya. And Zendaya has grown up and now was on Euphoria, and she's been in movies, and now she's just a huge star. And I was invited to be a sponsor of her 16th birthday party. And there was some like mansion in Beverly Hills, and she was having her birthday party there. And if you wanted to have your brand there and be a sponsor, you could. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this so Ellie can meet Zendaya. And so I was set up to do it, but then something happened where I couldn't do it that weekend. I was literally moving across the country, and it's way too long of a story, but it was one of these things where it just lined up where I couldn't do it. And that's not how I normally do things. I don't ever cancel things. It's just not my way. But I had to tell my daughter that we weren't going to be going. And I was just, it killed me to disappoint her. And so she was really upset, rightfully. And I just said to her, I promise you, there'll be another opportunity to meet Zendaya. And I just said it from my heart, and I meant it. And I said, I promise you, and my words, I spoke my words. So lo and behold, the next season of Dancing with the Stars, they announce who all the dancers are, and Zendaya was one of the dancers. And so I have an in with Dancing with the Stars because they use my products on the show for many years, my beauty ammo, and which I'm going to tell you about at the end of this episode. I wanted to tease it in the beginning because I'm going to talk about it with my third manifestation story, but it is my biggest beauty secret and my Hollywood secret weapon, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it at the end if you want to hear why all these sets and shows and super famous people are requesting it, because yeah, it's unique. But so I hear Zendaya is going to be on Dancing with the Stars. So I'm like, okay, now we have to get there and get on the set. And I'd been on the set before training a makeup artist with my products. But it's not one of those things where you could just call up, hey, give me tickets. But I did have ins with people on the show. So we were in LA for the weekend and I told her, we're going to try to get tickets for Sunday. And we were like on a wait list to try to get these tickets. And so we ended up going to Nobu in Malibu. Like we had our few little places we would always go hit. And like we would just go there to have a happy hour appetizer or whatever. But lo and behold, who's there but Apollo, who was like one of the people that had just recently been on Dancing with the Stars. And it's weird because we were driving down the street in West Hollywood and we saw Max's brother, and I'm forgetting his name, who's also one of the professional dancers on the show, just like walking down the street. And it was like, we were already like pulling in the manifestation by running into these different people. And I think I even ran into Max. I have a photo up right now of Max and I had ran into him at Nobu. And it may have even been that same weekend, but we still didn't have tickets to the show. So we were waiting like up to the last minute. And lo and behold, they called and said, we have tickets. You need to be here by this time, blah, blah, blah. And I remember Ellie changed her outfit like in the car and we were so excited and we ran to get there and get our tickets. And we got to meet all the dancers who were amazing. One of them gave Ellie his Dancing with the Stars robes and everybody, all the celebrities that were on the show. But we got to meet Zendaya, which was the most amazing of all. And she could not have been nicer. If I can figure out how to put the photo up here, I'll do that or maybe try to put them below. But she could not have been sweeter. And my daughter Ellie was like hugging her and she was crying. And it was just the most epic, most beautiful thing ever. And I cannot tell you how nice Zendaya was. So that was super cool and amazing. So my third story I'll tell you is another like epic A-lister story. And I was again in LA for the weekend and there was a salon that was carrying my products in Beverly Hills, and they were having a grand opening party, and it was like outside in their parking lot and inside of the salon. And they had said that Gwen Stefani was supposed to be there. And so I brought Ellie with because she was with me for the weekend, and we were just super excited to see Gwen Stefani. So we were at the party and we're mingling and talking to people, and there were different areas and places and things you could do and go. And it was starting to get late and we had just never seen Gwen. So I was like, finally, I asked someone, do you guys know for sure if Gwen is really coming? And they were like, oh, she just left. That was her. You guys were standing right next to her in the red shoes. And so this happens a lot where you meet celebrities and you don't recognize them. I've had it happen so many times when I worked for Jose Bear years ago on Rodeo Drive. But basically, Ellie was really upset because we were like, that was her in the red shoes. We're standing right next to her. And she felt like she had missed the whole opportunity. So I felt really bad for her. And as we were driving back to our hotel, she was just super down and bummed out. And I just said, when you go to these things, the bigger the name, the less chance that they're going to show up. You never know. They'll say, oh, so-and-so's going to be there. But usually you never know until they show up. And I said, but I promise you one thing, we will see celebrities this weekend. Like I just wanted her to, I said, wherever we go, we will see celebrities. So we went to Malibu and we were just shopping around doing our thing. And I got a call from this makeup artist. It was the next day. And she does Lady Gaga and Madonna and all these really big performers. And she said, I'm on this set and you need to come and bring your beauty ammo and do it. And all I really I heard her say Jamie Lee Curtis, but I didn't understand anything. It was just super unclear. And I said, I have my daughter with me. And she was like, you can't bring your daughter. And I think Ellie was maybe like 11 at the time. And I said, then I can't come. And she said, well, just bring her and she could just sit and wait. And I'll have somebody come down and sit with her while you come up. I just want you to do your beauty ammo on all of the actors before the makeup team does the makeup. And so I almost said no. And I was like, all right. So I said to Ellie, we got to go back by the hotel, change, grab my stuff, and head over to this set. And I had the address, didn't know where we were going, I think back somewhere more towards West Hollywood. And as we pulled up, there was like all these trailers outside. And we were like, wow, I wonder what this is. And so as we get out, right away, we saw Brad Pitt and Kevin Bacon. And we were like, oh my gosh. So this girl came down to bring us up. And she said, I was like, wow, we just commented on having just seen Brad Pitt and Kevin Bacon. And she said, yeah, I just gave George Clooney his coffee. I was like, wow, this is crazy. So they brought us up to this set, and it was actually 27 celebrities. And they were doing this play called Proposition 8. And it literally was Brad Pitt, George Clooney, the whole cast of Glee, Martin Sheen, Kevin Bacon, John C. Reilly. I mean, there was 27, just huge names. And I had to do beauty ammo on all of them. They had 5 makeup stations set up with all the makeup artists, and I just had to go around and prep everyone with my beauty ammo kit. And so they did end up letting Ellie come up, and she got to, we were like on the stage, and there was like where people were hanging out with the food right down below. And then there was an actual different place where they were shooting this play. So Ellie got to sit in on all of the rehearsals. She was the only one in there. And it was directed by Rob Reiner, and there was a couple other producers. But so she started texting me from in there saying, oh my God, Brad Pitt and George Clooney. And she's like, I'm texting my friends and no one's going to believe it. And she's, I need to get a picture. And I'm like, there's just no way. No, I'm like, there's just no way. And so she was just really working me. So I said to one of the female producers, I was like, hey, is there any way my daughter can get a picture with Brad Pitt and George Clooney? And she said, I'll tell you what, she just needs to ask them herself. And I was like, okay. So I was still up with the makeup team doing the makeup, and they were down below, not far away, but it was Brad Pitt, John C. Reilly, and George Clooney all talking to each other in a circle. So I said to Ellie, you have to ask them yourself. And so she went down there and was like, excuse me, Brad, could I get a photo? And she was like, my mom's up there with the makeup team. And it was super cute. And I'm like waving from up above. And Brad's, sure, no problem. And I came down and was the photographer. And I got a great shot of her with Brad, and then a great shot with George Clooney. And they were both up for Oscars against each other at the same time. So they were like the two biggest actors in Hollywood, both up for Oscars against each other. So we didn't get a picture with John C. Reilly, but I just didn't want to push it. I hope I didn't offend him, that we didn't want his picture. But anyways, yeah, that was pretty epic. And I look back at the coincidence of it. And was it really a coincidence? I talked to a lot of other people that say, gosh, I go to LA and this doesn't happen to me. So I do believe it was because of me speaking it with my words and saying it with my heart and doing it for her. I just really wanted her to have that experience. So it ended up being incredible. And a couple other really quick things I'll share when it comes to the heart manifestation. Years ago, my dad was really overweight, and he just didn't have the motivation to lose weight. And my brother, one of my 3 brothers, went to him in a really nice way and just said, Dad, we want you to be here with us for a long time. And he's still alive. He's still with us. But I'm just super concerned about your weight and your health, and I want you to lose the weight. And so literally, because my dad was approached that way, I have such goosebumps right now for it. My dad just was like, okay. And he started walking the stairs at their neighborhood park, whatever it was. And he dropped like 100 pounds, something crazy, a large amount of weight. And it was never about willpower. Like, he didn't do it for himself. He did it for my brother. And I like to share that story because it's a good way to go to approach things if you want to get around the whole willpower thing. And just do it out of love. When I say your heart, I'm talking about out of love. And another super quick demonstration of that, years ago, I used to have wolves, and literally I had a female named Chili. She was Chili Pepper was her name. She was beautiful and 87% wolf, the rest Alaskan Malamute. And we actually had one of the wolves also from the White Fang line of wolves, and we bred them, and it was amazing. We lived way up in Carefree, Arizona, and had this huge wolf den and had all the wolf cubs, and oh, it was just amazing. But my female, she was my everything. Oh my gosh. And we had moved, and she was just so smart, too smart. She could undo double bungee cords on the front door and go find me, like at the country club where we were having dinner. Anyways, she ended up dying unexpectedly, and it was just horrible. It was horrible. I like literally went out the front door and ran down the middle of the street crying. Like it was really horrific. And everyone that knew me knew how much she meant to me. And even one of my cousins flew across the country to be there for me. And I had flowers all over. Like it was a person. It was just devastating. But I had to know that she was still with me. And this is like one of my first steps into like my spiritual path. And I just needed to know for sure that she was in heaven, that I would see her again. And I'd had this energy healer person come to the house and say, oh, she's still all around you. And I was just like searching, wanting to know that she was still with me. And so I read this book, and I was researching books on all of those subjects. And I ordered this book, and I thought it was on like animals in the afterlife. But what it really was, the story about, not story, it was like a documentary style book on the horrors of abuse that animals go through for us to eat them. So right then and there, I just became an animal advocate. And I was like, this is it. I'm giving up meat, and it's going to be a tribute to her. So that year I gave up eating meat, and I've been a vegetarian ever since for 30 years. And my daughter also was born and afterwards, and she's never had meat in her life. Not that I've ever even had a conversation about it, but that's just how I raised her, and she still adheres to that. But when people would ask me like why I went vegetarian, that's why. And it was one of those things like when you read a certain book and you can't unknow knowledge. So it was never really a willpower thing where people think, oh, I just can't give up my blah, blah, blah. It was a heart thing. I did it out of love for her. I made the decision and I did it for her. And I never once felt, oh, I'm really craving a hot dog, or gosh, the only thing I miss are my mom's meatballs. There was never a single instance of missing meat. So I just think it's an interesting way to go about it, and maybe something to notice. Maybe you've done it yourself and you didn't really realize that's what it was, and that's why it was so powerful and more powerful than trying to do things through your willpower. So anyways, that's it for my little three stories. And then just to wrap up, I'll tell you a little bit more about my beauty ammo kit. It's my firstborn child out of all my products. I created it in Arizona to solve the problem of concealer, powder, foundation, creasing, caking. Every woman would walk into my spa with their makeup stuck in the crow's feet. And I was just like, if I can't make their skin look better, what is the point? So I won't bore you with the super long story. It's there in an earlier episode probably, but the first step is a leave-on collagen eye mask. It's just massive hydration with collagen and shea butter. So you put it on in a thick layer. I have so many celebrity makeup artists that use this, and it's all through word of mouth. I used to do the Hollywood makeup artist union meetings where all the top celebrity makeup artists and hairstylists come, and I got it to them, and they would get it to all of the actors and people that they're working with. So a lot of it has been word of mouth just through them. But the second step is called line putty, and it's like spackle, and they're both all natural. It took me like 8 years to find a chemist who can make them work as good with all natural formulas, but it's like a putty type consistency. So I call it spackling. So when I get invited onto sets to do it on people, it's just to fill in any little lines, you know, the Line Putty works really well over the collagen mask, under the eyes, and above the lip for lip lines. And then the third step is my all-natural color adjusting. I call it my supernatural concealer, and it just covers really great. And if you have those steps underneath, you could use more concealer, get better coverage, and not worry about everything creasing and caking. So that's the Beauty Ammo Kit. They use it on Dancing with the Stars. They said it made Cloris Leachman look 30 years younger, which was a great compliment. Even all the judges, Lenny, Bruno, I know Lenny has passed, but Bruno, Carrie Ann, we got to sit behind them. I forgot to mention when I took Ellie to the show, it was so much fun. It was so exciting. So my Beauty Ammo Kit is available on my website, nbyork.com, and it comes with an instruction sheet. The products are numbered 1, 2, 3, right on the jar. And I think there's even a video tutorial there. So I hope that you will subscribe to my channel if you want to get more videos. I'm going to be doing a quick 5-minute makeup video next. It's so long overdue. I meet so many women out at events, and I just want to make sure that everybody knows what they're doing with their products. Or even if you were to buy the Beauty Ammo Kit off of a video, I want to know that you know how to work it correctly. So it comes with the instructions, plus I send out additional videos, and I'm going to keep them up and going. But really just 5-minute makeup, things you could do quickly and easily, and basically for women that know who they are. So if you're here, I thank you again. If you think that this episode would bless anyone else with any of these tips, please forward it along. And I hope I will see you next time on Beauty Revival. Thank you. That's a wrap on today's episode of Beauty Revival. Remember, true beauty starts in the mind and spirit. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. If today's message spoke to you, share this episode with a friend who needs a little beauty revival in their life. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It helps more women just like you step into their God-given glow. For more inspiration, beauty tips, and faith-fueled empowerment, connect with me on Instagram at mbyork.beauty. And check out my website, mbyork.com. Until next time, stay radiant, stay revived, and let's glow.